Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So while I'm optimistic that out of this crisis there'll be some opportunities to do some really good things, to move the country forward, to improve our social safety net, while I'm hoping that there's that opportunity, part of my fear is that, well, other people are seeing it as an opportunity as well. And I look at the fact that my kids now are going to be doing the online kind of school stuff. We're moving the brick and mortar education over into the virtual world, which, here where I'm at in Pennsylvania, the cyber charter schools are just, they're just bad. Not really great reviews. Some people do really good. Those are the folks who are going to have the homeschoolers. But for the most part, not all that positive. So my fear out of this is, these cyber charter groups, they see an opportunity to move this forward and ultimately privatize our education, which has been a great fear of mine. I'm here to share some thoughts on that. I've asked Dr. Lawrence Baines to come talk with us. He's the director of the Oklahoma Writing Project. He's also made a viral video on the topic of school privatization. Dr. Baines, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks very much, Rick.
So, do you share the fear that I have out of this crisis? This is going to be that crisis that they don't let it go by without taking advantage of?
Oh, it's been going on for a couple decades now, this privatization of public schools. Your example of the cyber charter is an excellent example. Almost all of those are private, and as the school districts across the country now are going to be going online, it's going to be, as you noted, really ripe for privatizers to come in. A lot of the school districts, because they don't have any infrastructure for the internet to deliver curriculum, are going to have to pay, privatizers to do that. There's a great case here in Oklahoma that was kind of emblematic, I think, of the current state of affairs. There's a charter group called Epic Charter Schools here, and they've ingratiated themselves. They've contributed money to both the governor and the commissioner of education's campaigns to get elected. And these guys, it's basically two guys, they're non-teachers who got together and decided to start this online charter school. And anyway, they paid themselves $10 million in the same year that the public school teachers in Oklahoma were 50th in the nation as far as the salaries go. So you've got this huge disparity of teachers who have gone through all this university-based teacher preparation and got up these big student loans, and now they're going out and they're teaching for about $30,000 a year. You've got these two guys, non-educators, who are earning $10 million in a very short amount of time.
And where does that money come from? I mean, I complain all the time every time I hear a charter school or the cyber charters advertising on the radio or TV or billboards. Anytime I see that, I complain that, hey, there's my tax dollars hard at work. Where are these guys coming up with $10 million to pay themselves in a state where they're paying teachers 30 grand a year? Where's that coming from?
Well, it is taxpayer money. That's exactly what it is. Most of the states have agreements with charters and cyber charters as well. Sometimes they're differentiated, sometimes they're not, but they pay on a per-kid basis. And so if these charter schools say that they have this many people, then they're going to get that much money from the government.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dr. Baines. Yeah. Here in Pennsylvania, the average, we'll make the argument that's $10,000 a kid. That's a lot of kids to get to $10 million.
Right, it's a lot of kids. And that's, Epic was under, and they're still under investigation for that, because the OSBI, the Oklahoma State of Bureau of Investigation, has been looked into their accounts and thought that they were slightly inflated. They accused them of having ghost students. What actually happens a lot of times is a kid maybe in a school district is having some difficulty, and then they'll drop out for a little while. They'll enroll in Epic for a couple weeks, and then they'll leave Epic, and then they'll come back to the school district. Anyway, so all those numbers are kind of easy to fudge, and so that's been some of the difficulty of tracking that. Florida's the same way. Florida's got There's a Sunshine School in Florida that was kind of a holding bin for everyone who dropped out of charter schools. They went to Sunshine School, and Sunshine School is basically a big room in a strip mall, and that had a flank of computers, and students just sat in front of the computers 3 or 4 hours a day and had a TA, a teaching assistant, just kind of walk around and help the students. It was not much learning was going on there, but the state of Florida was still paying per pupil to the charters for that.
So, I mean, that's incredible. But, you know, Pennsylvania is not much different. I mean, our cyber charter laws are you know, I was just filled with criminal activity and people ripping it off. You know, I could go through a bunch of them where, you know, kids were supposed to get laptops and internet access and they didn't bother. There was the one charter school that actually doubled as a nightclub at night, kind of a strip club. I mean, there's all of these shady operations. And this is what happens when you throw education into the private free market. You get, you know, gamesters who are going to try and figure out how to game the system to enrich themselves. And, well, you know, if those kids get educated or not, well, you know, easy come, easy go.
Yeah, the really alarming thing about the current state of charter schools, and vouchers are the same or perhaps worse in this country, is that there's no accountability. Like public schools, every penny is accounted for, and we know how many special ed students, how many free and reduced lunch. It's basically closed books when you come to charters. What the charter school will do is that once it gets started, then it'll also launch a side business. It's a private agency. So if it's like the Rick Smith Charter School, then you'll have the Rick Smith Educational Services Company that you'll form as soon as that's been approved by the state. And then right. What you'll do is then you'll pay yourself, Rick Smith Educational Services, to provide all the services for the charter school. And all that is, there's no accountability for that because it's a private business. And so that's how a lot of that stuff is run.
Yep.
And so we don't really know the extent to which the corruption is happening. Really, it's been the few intrepid reporters who are still out there who've just been digging, who've uncovered all the graft. There's a charter school in Houston that has no library, no playground, no sports equipment. It's in some portable buildings in a vacant lot. And the guy who owns that charter school has $12 million in the bank. And then he's also bought a condo in the Galleria. It's kind of a spritzy area in Houston for storage of school records. And he's bought another condo in Dallas near the Dallas Galleria, also for storage of records. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just a money grab.
I know it is. And look, we've heard all of them. And it's not just, you know, the curriculum that they privatize. It's janitorial services. It's
everything.
The lunch lady. You know, we now got privatized lunch ladies. And they make wild profit off of that. The corporate mindset has taken over. And I don't know that we're going to really be able to grab that back at any time soon, because they've spent so much money training us to believe that private is better and that public is bad. And look, the public schools, they're not outrunning ads saying how well they're doing. They're not outrunning ads saying, you know, how many of their students go off to college and all of that. It's really a fight of two boxers in a ring, and one of them's got both hands tied behind their back and tied to their feet.
Yeah, that's an apt description. I mean, in the public schools, for example, special education has so many requirements. If you have a limited English proficient student, so many requirements. Student in a wheelchair, you have requirements. You must offer this. You've got Title IX. In charter school, it's kind of open season, kind of create whatever you want to create. So one of the things that's really, I guess, worrisome about that, if you look at the data on that, is that charter schools are kind of resegregating the countries. If you look at charter school populations, if you're a black kid in a charter school, highly likely that you're not going to have any white students in any of your classes. Ditto for the white students, who are going to be highly unlikely to have a black student in your classes. There's some charters that are integrated. And there's some charters that are doing a good job, but it's just got that room for malfeasance and for making things really worse. There's some charter schools right now, like in San Diego, there's a charter school that's for Somalian Muslims, and that's a publicly funded school. And there's a charter school in Chicago that's restricted to black males, publicly funded charter school. There's a Jewish school in Florida. Anyway, all those are
sure. We're resegregating ourselves based on who's right. who can you know navigate the system and get the funding, and who has the political connections. Because not just not just Dr. Baines, who I understand runs an incredible writing a group. You can't just say, hey, we're gonna bring in writers and start a charter school. You don't have the connections for that.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's where the money is to be made right now in education. You're not going to get rich being a teacher or being a principal in a public school. You'll make the money in the charter and the voucher, and you don't need an education degree. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Rick, because I know that you're very concerned about the future for the working man. Is in a charter school, there's no requirement that you be certified in any way. So charter schools can hire anybody, and as a result, less than half of teachers at charter school actually have any benefits or insurance. And so and their contracts, or they basically don't receive tenure. And if you look at their pay, by and large, they get about 20% less than the comparable public school teachers. So and they have very little like bargaining rights. And so that's the other thing that's worrisome. Is that sector grows, and we're going to have more and more teachers who are going to be increasingly vulnerable and don't have benefits and et cetera.
And worse than that, we're going to turn the profession, the art of teaching, into transient labor. I mean, I look at what they've done with Teach for America. While it's great that you have young ideological people who want to change the world, what it's really, in my view, turned into is an exploitive opportunity for these corporations to bring these ideological, excited, enthused workers in, and then work them 90 hours a week, burn them out, and send them down the road packing for the next group.
That's an apt description. Really bright kids, but it's rare that you meet a TFA graduate out teaching in their third year. Everyone leaves after the second year.
I've had those conversations with them, and they're like, I got involved in it because, hey, I was going to go into these, I was going to be the movie. I was going to be, that teacher that went into that school, and I changed the world, and I worked 80, 90 hours a week. And at the end, it was just about the money, and it was really apparent it was about the money, and they burnt out and moved on to something next.
Yeah, absolutely. And even some of the charter schools that are held up is really meritorious, like the Harlem Children's Zone is famous, and President Obama and Secretary Duncan went out there and said, yeah, every school in America could be like this. Well, the principal, Jeffrey Canada, of that school, after he retired, received $1 million a year in salary from the school, and the current principal of that school makes $850,000, and they've got a PR person that makes $500,000. They've got a lobbyist on staff. So you've got this just an array of very high-paid, powerful people to try to help propagate those things. KIPP is the same way. If you look at the KIPP organization, the founders who don't teach, they make about $500,000. There's a director of marketing that makes about $500,000. These salaries are not possible in the public ranks. So
I always forget the name of the school the Obama kids went to. It's a real famous school.
That's right. It's in D.C. Yeah. It's a Quaker school.
It's one of those. But I always you go, when I hear someone say, all public schools could be like this one. Well, how about we make all schools like the places where the Obamas would send their kids or the Trumps would send their kids? Because this isn't one side of the political spectrum or the other. This is the rich people sending their kids to schools where they're going to get really good, solid educations on humanities and arts and all that other stuff. And they're not going to be standardized tests to death.
Right.
And they're going to have small classrooms and lots of personal interaction. If we could make every school look like that, I think I could get on board with that.
Oh, absolutely. And we have the wherewithal as a country to do that. We could make every school absolutely knock your socks off great. There's no doubt about it. And it would be for every child. And when you look at the state legislatures, when they're first establishing public schools, that's all the language in there. every kid has a fair shot. You know, we don't care if you're what color you are, how much money you have. If you come to this school, you know, we're going to educate you as best we can. We're going to give you the opportunity for the American dream. And that's kind of been under attack for many years now, because that's not profitable. And what charters and vouchers are actually doing is they're putting profit ahead of education and the welfare of the child. Because when it comes down to it, the owners of, should we spend extra money for a nurse? Should we spend extra money for this great curriculum? Should we spend money for this extra ramp and elevator for special ed kids? Well, that would be a drag on profits. So inevitably, they don't choose that. They may have started out good intention, but when it comes down, they don't. So they can make more money. Anyway, that's if you look at the charters and vouchers, that's been the kind of what's been going on for quite a while.
No, that's an important point to hit on, because as Janice pointed out to me, the school I'm looking for is Sidwell Friends School.
Sidwell Friends, that's it, right.
And thank you, Janice, for that. But, the thing is, these private schools, they're heavily well-funded. You know, they don't have, their CEOs don't make millions of dollars. They do pump that money back into education. As where these charter schools and this privatization movement that's happening for the rest of us, not for the rich, but for the rest of us, is all about profit and all about, shareholders and all about extracting money from Education Incorporated. And I think we as citizens and as parents and as taxpayers had better figure this out and quick. And there's part of me that has hope that maybe we're seeing it.
Yeah, there's been kind of a groundswell of support for public education that's emerging. It used to be kind of a knee-jerk reaction many years ago that Democrats were all going to be pro-charter, because the idea of charter, when it was first originated, was actually AFL-CIO idea of having this school within a school. So you'd have this school, and then you'd have this kind of experimental school where the best teachers and just select students would be trying these things out. And that was the original idea, experimental, avant-garde. But now it's really lost its moorings, and it's just for-profit.
No, you're right. It was Albert Shanker's idea, the former president of AFT, the American Federation of Teachers.
The idea was,
and this is the thing that galls me the most about all of this, is that all of these experiments were supposed to be shared widely with all the different schools. They were going to share best practices, and they were going to figure out what worked better, and they were going to do that. What we've actually done is we've done all the R&D, all of the research and development of the best practices, only they've been allowed to be privatized and then sold back to us. So not only did we pay for the research and development of it, but we're paying for the ongoing continued product. I mean, it's insane to me.
Yeah, it's insane. And particularly when you think about a lot of the people who ratify this are supposed to be fiscally conservative in the legislature, and they're basically just giving money away, giving tens of millions of dollars away in Oklahoma, our tight-fisted Oklahoma legislature giving that away. On the other hand, they're shortchanging, and they keep reducing the amount of funding for public schools and public school teachers.
Right.
But
you hit the reason on the head right at the beginning. Those two making $10 million, they gave money to the governor.
That's it. All right. Yeah, the public schools have no lobbyists. They don't have a coordinator of marketing. And a lot of the charters and vouchers now are giving refunds, meaning if somebody would come to their school, then they're going to give the family back some portion of money, $500 or $800. So if you're a poor family, and if I just enroll my three kids in this charter school and I'm getting $1,500 back, that looks pretty good for the short term. Anyway, there's all kinds of tricks that are going on now to try to build those enrollments. One thing I wanted to mention is about vouchers, because a lot of people are looking at vouchers and they're exclaiming how wonderful school choice is. If you look at vouchers in most states, and Indiana is kind of the model now, because they brought that out in Indiana with the idea that, everyone deserves to go to a private school if they want. And so these poor people who have a terrible public school down the street, they need another choice, right? And so they ratified. So now vouchers in Indiana are statewide. Anyone can use a voucher and circumvent the public school. But the latest data from Indiana says that there's less than 1% of the original intended population, the poor right. of Indiana with a failing school, actually use the vouchers.
Right, because there's not one in the neighborhood.
There's not one in the neighborhood. It's not, and it's too damn expensive. So the voucher might be for $4,000 or $5,000. Well, it at the school where the Obama kids went, Seward, it would be like, what, $50,000-$60,000 tuition. They're not going to cut that. No way. So anyway, I'm just saying that there's a kind of campaign to sell vouchers, and the idea it's helping the poor, and it's not. If you look at Indiana, half of the people who have vouchers, their children have never even set foot in a public school. So they've been private all along.
Yep, it was a handout for the very wealthy, and I don't need to go to Indiana to see this. You know, a couple years back, we had Senator Mike Fulmer on the program, who's now in jail for dirty pictures on his computer of kids, I guess. So you know, good for him. But he signed and put forth the original voucher bill here in Pennsylvania. And I had him on the program, and I asked him, you know, quite frankly, if I get this golden ticket, you give me this wonderful golden ticket voucher, can I send my kids anywhere? And he said, anywhere you want to go. I go, so, okay, so if I can get my kids to Germantown Academy or Abington Friends in Philadelphia, if I'm willing to drive the 2.5 hours to get them in there, this golden ticket's going to pay for that. And he told me, absolutely. And I said, I don't even think you know what your own bill says.
That's right. There's no way.
Because that golden ticket is not going to be for $50,000. No. It's going to be for eight or nine. And I'm not going to be able to come up with the other 41.
No. Especially if you have more than one kid. You're talking about 82. Anyway, yeah, all that stuff is really a scam.
But it's how they sell this stuff to us infuriates me, Dr. Baines, is that it's just, you know, and we buy it because we want, as parents, we want the best for our kids. We want the best opportunities.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Right, and we see that, and that's one of the things that, I empathize so much with parents, and I could see it. I mean, if I'm in a neighborhood that's kind of run down and my only choice of the public school is a place that I consider dangerous down the street, man, I want options, to that. However, the options that we've been given those parents in those situations are really no options at all. If you look at Detroit, where DeVos made a lot of her money, in that where it's less than half of the schools in Detroit now are public schools. They're almost 60% charter schools, and they're all miserable. And the Detroit public schools have not been high achieving, but they achieve better, and the kids are better and safer in the public schools than they are in the charter schools.
Yeah.
But we'll never get that back. And the more that the public school population declines, the less the funding is, the more schools that get closed. So it's always the schools in the poorest neighborhoods that get closed.
It's always the poor, isn't it? We always experiment on the poor. And like, as someone who grew up in a housing project, I know about that. But I hope folks will take a look at your video and the book Privatization of America's Public Institutions, The Story of the American Sellout. You can get that at americansellout.org. We'll get links out on how folks can take a look at that and the video. Dr. Baines, I appreciate the time. Great stuff.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rick.
I appreciate the time. Good stuff. Again, make sure you check out the website, americansellout.org, to take a look at the book. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.